701, what's going on, y'all? 97.5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Wednesday night, following the Ron Jaworski Show with Barrett Brooks as the special guest this week. And it's great to hear Barrett, because Barrett is our weekly guest every week during the football season. He will be with us tomorrow at approximately 8 o'clock after we, of course, do our Fanatic football pool at 8 o'clock, right around 8:05. Barrett will be on after that. And today we have our Fanatic football pool tonight here as well. So make sure you guys tune in. Just like clockwork, every day for the last week and now a half, we've done this giveaway, this contest with the Fanatic football pool. So make sure you guys are ready around 8 o'clock to listen out for us to let you know when to tune in and when to jump in on the phone line to get your phone call in, get your speed dial on, and get ready to be caller number 5 so we can give away some money and possibly give away an opportunity for you to be the grand prize winner, because we have a lot of extra things now in the prize pool for the Fanatic football pool, which is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So again, as you know by now, week number 3 of the NFL season. Wednesdays, we start at 7. Thursdays, after Cousins Corner, the same thing. We start at 7 because of Ron Jaworski Show and Cousins Corner. So we have an abbreviated show, but we have a lot to get into with the Philadelphia Eagles. Later on, the Philadelphia Phillies, that'll probably be in the 9 o'clock hour sometime. The 76ers, we'll try to update you on the latest with their coaching search and what's going on there. Adrian Wojnarowski saying something on his podcast. It was very brief. Not really anything earth-shattering, with he and Bobby Marks discussing the 76ers and their coaching search now that Billy Donovan is in Chicago. But we have to get into all of that, all of those things. We'll give you our side topic right in the 7:30 segment to let you know what we're going to do for fun tonight. But we have to get into the Philadelphia Eagles and kind of start to turn that page, right? You know how we do it. Wednesday is that kind of, you know, start to shift a little bit, start to turn the page a little bit and get into a new direction with this football team, as we'll get more and more into the Cincinnati Bengals. And turning the page, I don't mean let's talk about the Bengals right now. Turning the page meaning, all right, we've said it all, we've done it all, we've fussed and fighting and told off the Philadelphia Eagles and all the things that needed to be done to make sure our voices have been heard when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles and the way that they're losing these games, right? So, but with that, it is time to start to kind of shift a bit and start to get into a little bit more of the Philadelphia Eagles overall. And yes, just kind of starting to get to that point of the Cincinnati Bengals, but just simply just looking ahead now and trying to figure out where this football team can get themselves on the right track. Because I was sitting here thinking, with Tyler and I talking a little bit earlier about this football team in general, and I know, and you know, mentioning it to him about this team, and looking at some of the positive things, the offensive line plays seem to be a little bit better last week against the Los Angeles Rams. I was about to go St. Louis. How about that? The Los Angeles Rams and what they did last week. So the offensive line looked a little bit better. Miles Sanders certainly coming back in game number 1 for him after missing week number 1 because of the hamstring injury that kept him out of all of training camp. He just... Were you waiting to see what he looked like out there on the field? He looked good after the fumble, cleaned up that fumble. He was good to go immediately following that. He finished with 90 yards on the ground, 30-plus through the air. He looked really good. Carson Wentz missed him a few times with some other opportunities that they could have had, maybe some big plays as well, right? But they'll figure these things out, you hope. So as we sit here and we look at, we reflect on these first two games that they lost, looking ahead to where we are about to go with this tough stretch starting with Cincinnati this week. Yes, I'm including Cincinnati Bengals because you don't have a win. So this is a tough stretch starting with the Cincinnati Bengals. Then the San Francisco 49ers across the country in San Francisco. Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo out the rest of the week. I don't know if it said he wasn't going to play this weekend, but I know I saw that he was out for the rest of the week. Then you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, the Baltimore Ravens here in Philadelphia. Everything we know about the Birds right now is simply they have not been good enough. We have had many things to point to complain about, because this thing overall has just been terrible to start the season off. It has been terrible. With that being said, with everything being terrible, because it has been, right? All right. What is it that they have to do? I mean, there's more terrible things like the Jalen Reagor injury to his thumb, the UCL, that's going to keep him out for a few weeks, and that's a problem. But in general, as we look at some of these things to try to look at positively against Cincinnati, right, without really focusing on Cincinnati, but simply focusing on the Philadelphia Eagles and the positives that we try to take away from this past weekend in that loss, is the fact that Miles Sanders is back and look good. And as much as we talk about, well, he only needs 20 touches, that's right, that's me saying I don't want to overwork him. You can mix in Boston Scott and you can also mix in Corey Clement. Well, so far, Corey Clement hasn't done anything, unfortunately, for the team. So I don't know how many snaps and how many touches he's going to get. Boston Scott looked better in game number 2 in his normal role, right? But Miles Sanders looked really good once he settled down after that fumble. So already positively, I'm looking at Miles Sanders and saying, I think I might want to give him a few more touches, right? Maybe, you know, still that 20, 25, but if we are able to see the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line play better like they did this past weekend, and you see them dominating the line of scrimmage, why not incorporate the run game a little bit more? Why not change the style of play overall and dictate the flow of the game, the pace of the game, and see what they do, the Cincinnati Bengals, in trying to figure things out in defending you? They need to get a little more tricky with some of the things that they're doing. We speak about being too cute and all that. Well, going for fourth down and going for the extra 2 after you score, those are the things that we look at Doug Peterson, and even though he's a gambler, if you will, we say he's too cute at times with some of the things that he does. But the misdirections that we need to see from this team out there, no Jalen Reagor, that's going to hurt. So you're not going to do it too much with DeSean Jackson, because he is your best receiver out there. He's basically your possession receiver, as well as your deep threat to stretch the field. He has many, many hats that he's going to wear right now, and we'll see how he responds to all of that. But they have to now figure out a way to use this offense minus, again, one of their key contributors in Jalen Reagor, who is now going to be out. Is that going to be John Hightower, who has to step up and step into that place? Possibly, but you're asking another rookie and a later-round pick to make sure that he is on point, ready to go in week number 3 in a must-win game for the Philadelphia Eagles to pick up the slack that is now being left by his fellow rookie Jalen Reagor, who is going to be out for a few weeks. What does that mean for the rest of the team? Well, you know that's going to be a lot of 12 personnel. Also, with Goddard and Ertz getting a lot of targets for Carson Wentz and that offense. The Bengals defense, not that great. Really not that great. So you would think that they are going to get a lot of targets between the two of them. And that's how they're going to have to change things with the offense. And that also goes, again, back to Miles Sanders, where they're going to have to feature him a little bit more in the run game, establish the run. You just heard Barrett talking about how Nate Herbig played much better at that right guard position and looked pretty good at it. So is he going to be out there? Is he not going to be out there? Because now Isaac Seumalo is going to be out as well. What does that mean for Matt Pryor? Do they keep Herbig there to keep that camaraderie going over there on that right side between he and Johnson, along with Jason Kelce in the middle? Pryor or Brown? Do you mix in Brown as well when it comes to how you decide to put that offensive line together. This is a mess already where they are 0-2. It's not even like we're talking about a 1-1 situation. They are 0-2. The injuries are piling up. Injuries are happening all around the league, except for this team is 0-2. This is what we care about. So, of course, the injuries, we're not going to use them as a crutch for this team and say, well, they're hurt, a lot of people out. Yes, that is a fact. But still, you want to see them get a W by any means necessary. Go out there and get a W, no matter how many players are currently down for you. So as we start things off tonight, going forward with this football team, how do you want to, first of all, I want to talk about the offense. How do you want to see the offense function going forward? Because now you're going to be without Jalen Reagor. That's a big loss for this team because those are your two outside wide receivers starting for the Eagles with Jackson and Reagor. Those are your two starting outside receivers. Reagor is now down. What do you do for your offense? Are you going to go a heavy 12 personnel type of offense? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to maybe mix in something a little bit different where you're allowed to have that third receiver out there like Greg Ward? Someone that I think Carson Wentz has trust in out there on the football field? What are they going to do? They have to try to switch things up. I want to see Miles Sanders get a few more touches. I would like to see a little more production in week number 3 and going forward, more so than we saw last week. And yes, that has a lot to do with Carson Wentz and his accuracy, trusting in himself, trusting his arm, trusting what he sees out there on the field, that he is making the right read, making the right play, and delivering that football on time, giving his receivers, tight ends, running backs, an opportunity to make a play. This whole thing comes back around to Carson Wentz, as we know. We all know this. It comes back around to Carson Wentz, period. But hey, they have to revamp things a little bit. They have to change things up just slightly, to pick up this first win of the season, and then we can start to look ahead to San Francisco and see if they are still going to be down with Garoppolo and his injury right now, the fact that they have no Raheem Mostert, Bosa is injured as well. The wide receivers, their situation there is bad also with the injuries that they have hitting them. So there's so many different things going on around the NFL where this could turn around. As much as we have complained about this football team, and rightfully so, as I look at ESPN and their question, who's ready to rebound? Is it Cousins or Wentz less likely to turn the season around? Well, I mean, look, I'm always going to say Carson Wentz because I like him as a quarterback. I've said I've liked Kirk Cousins in the past while he was with Washington and Minnesota. I thought that people looking at him because he was a Washington football player, that he wasn't good. No, he was pretty good. And he has done some things in Minnesota as well. But Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than him. Are the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson, the offensive coaches, are they going to do more to help Carson Wentz? And is Carson Wentz going to do more to help himself? And when I say more, by simply taking that step back and simplifying things, getting back to those basics of the fundamentals, the tendencies out there that can get him in trouble, you don't want that stuff to happen going forward. Play smarter. Be smarter. Hand the ball off on those read options, right? Taking the short dump off pass that'll just pick up the first down. And hey, it's okay if you get a 12 play drive. It's not a big deal. It doesn't have to be a 3-play drive because you hit on a big target down the field to DeSean Jackson. It's okay. It's okay to take that short thing and get that first down, drive down the field, wear that defense out, and the next thing you know, you're in the end zone, you're leading 16-0 because Doug Peterson has gone for two twice and converted on them, and now you're up 16-0. And then you have a little bit of confidence out there for your football team, most importantly, for your quarterback, who is struggling mightily right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. So guys, as we kind of turn the page a little bit and look at this thing a little more positively, getting ready for the most important game, of course, of the season already against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then again, we'll get to the other stuff that goes along with it afterwards. San Francisco and Pittsburgh and Baltimore. We'll play those things as we get closer to those games as well. Simply asking right now, as we look at this Eagles offense in particular, the offense in particular, defense, we'll get to them because they've had their struggles as well. Jim Schwartz spoke about it yesterday. Avante Maddox on the morning show, he talked about the defensive struggles thus far. We've seen it. Fletcher Cox, you need more from him. Javon Hargrave in his first game back, he did nothing. You want to see more from Derek Barnett, also his first game back. Brandon Graham biting on the edge and not holding them contained too much and biting on those misdirection plays. Got them in trouble, got him in trouble. There's a litany of things that we need to talk about with the defense. But as far as the offensive side of the football goes, how do you want to see them this upcoming week? What do they need to be focusing on for the game plan this week in practice to improve, to simplify things and get back to the Philadelphia Eagle football that we thought we were going to see, led by Carson Wentz as the quarterback this season? They're 0-2. They cannot afford to go 0-3 and losing to the Cincinnati Bengals. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. A bit of an abbreviated show starting at 7 this evening following the Ron Jaworski Show with special guest Barrett Brooks. Barrett will be with us tomorrow right around 8:10, let's just say, tomorrow after we do our Fanatic football pool at 8:05 tomorrow right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So it's good to follow those guys. A great lead-in with the conversation they were having. We'll get to all of our callers as well. Get your thoughts on the Birds. And look, we can keep it wide open with the entire offense and what you want to see them do to improve, because they have not looked good at all. Those first few, the first quarter and a half, the offense, tremendous. First quarter and a half, the offense was tremendous. After that, you kind of turn to your left and look at whoever you're watching the game with, and turn to your right and you say, what in the world is going on with this football team? You really sit there and shake your head. You really sit there and shake your head. All right? They have an 0-2 start. They cannot afford to go 0-3. Carson Wentz has to improve on his footwork again. He has to get back to the basics, the fundamentals, and being the quarterback that we know he can be. All right? And by the way, stop getting your players destroyed, because that's how Jalen Reagor got destroyed and being out of the game. Carson Wentz putting him in a tough spot to take some unnecessary hits. He missed him on a big play during the game. He missed Zach Ertz on a big play during the game down the field. And before that, he almost got Dallas Goedert destroyed out there on the football field yet again. He has to be better with delivering the football and protecting his teammates as well. All right, 610-632-0975. I like where Justin is going, so we'll start off with Justin tonight on this Wednesday night as he tips off the show for us here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Justin from Carney's Point. Justin, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Devon. How are you, man?
Good, man. I saw this and I said, oh, we got to go right to Justin. Let's see what Justin has on Jeffrey and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Why those two? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we got to fill, you know, a starting void with our wide receivers. I mean, I'm just curious if you had any more knowledge on, you know, Alshon's availability. They were talking about possibly week three. That's why he's been active, you know, wasting a roster spot all year. And then, you know, kind of the same subject. I really don't want to see JJ get the start outside. I mean, I think it's time to give Hightower an opportunity, leave Ward in the slot, and you know, let's see what happens. The other big thing is, I haven't heard really many people mention it, but week one, it seemed like our whole offensive game plan was just use the speed, throw it downfield, that's it. Week two, right, I know things need to be quicker with Wentz getting out of the pocket with Donald in the D-line, but, I mean, they had a few opportunities to throw it deep. I seen some tape that Wentz missed you know, Deshaun with a step on a corner a few times. Mm-hmm. But it, still, that doesn't excuse not one shot downfield. I mean, literally not one shot over, I would say, 15, maybe 18 yards at the most.
Right, and that's why even when I mentioned that the offensive line did a lot better this week, Justin, he had time. He is the one. Yeah. If you heard what people were saying, Adam Kaplan pointed it out, and you listen to Jaws and what Barrett Brooks was saying, and Adam was talking about he was seeing ghosts again.
Yeah.
And that's why he was getting rid of the football. When he was getting rid of the football, instead of taking his time, stepping into his throws, using the proper footwork and the windup and the delivery to get the ball out and hitting
Absolutely.
His target.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing I would like to, you know, I'm a huge Wentz fan, and it's hard for me to even admit when he's not playing well. These last two games have been horrendous, and people are talking about regression. I mean, really, if you know even a little bit of basics, one problem with Wentz has always been his mechanics and his footwork. And, you know, DeFilippo and Reich and Doug were able to correct that really, really good back in 17. And that's why we saw the, you know, huge, huge ability that he showed. But now, I mean, and even last year, it's looking terrible. On that interception to JJ last week, he was like, I'm just going to say a pitcher's description real quick. His front foot was like it was 2 feet to the left when he threw that pass, and he wound up. He had all the time in the world. I mean, he could have just threw that pass high to the back of the end zone.
Where only JJ could get it, or
exactly.
It was going out of the back of the end zone. There's no turnover. Yep, I said the same thing, Justin.
And it seems to be, I mean, I know Wentz has got to execute and he's got to be better, but the coaching has got, like, they got to be drilling this into his head. Like,
you know they do. You know they do.
Yeah.
This is on him. This is on him to stop being so stubborn. And it's one thing to be confident in what you do and understanding that you can be tremendous out there. But it's also another thing, as I remember also Adam saying, he listens, but he doesn't take it to the field. Right.
Yeah, he doesn't translate.
He doesn't exactly. He listens to the coaching, but he doesn't accept the coaching, if you will, when he's out there on the field. Justin, listen, man. Thanks so much, man. Thanks for starting the show off. 610-632-0975. He says he doesn't want to see. Justin doesn't want to see J.J. Arcega-Whiteside starting opposite DeSean Jackson on Sunday. Now with Jalen Reagor, the news that he will be out for a few weeks. Hey, that's what you have. This is what you have. Do you trust J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, or do you trust John Hightower to be that starting receiver opposite DeSean Jackson? 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on the Birds' offense and what they need to do moving forward to improve things to get them back on the winning track, get their first win of the season. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Wednesday night. A later start for us, again, just to move forward for the rest of the football season. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, we will start our show at 7 o'clock following Ron Jaworski's show on Wednesdays and Cuz's Corner on Thursdays. A full 4 hours on Tuesday and Friday. 8 o'clock start after Inside the Birds with Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan on Mondays. So we have you covered all around with football. So I just wanted to make sure we let people know where we will be during the football season, if you were wondering why we were starting a little bit later. And that's why. But you know me, I have no problem following my man Jaws. And of course, when he has my brother on there, Barrett Brooks, no problems at all. So 610-632-0975, a great listen to those two. It's been fantastic listening to those two. And, of course, stepping in here with you guys, 610-632-0975, fixing the Philadelphia Eagles going forward. They know, we know, they need a win badly. And they have the perfect team, we think, coming in. However, that Joe Burrow guy, he scares the mess out of, I think, he should scare the mess out of everybody, because he has been really good the first two games, specifically the second game last Thursday against the Cleveland Browns, where he put 30 up on the Cleveland Browns in a loss. he looked really good. Doesn't look rattled. You can tell after losses that he looks really, really bothered by those losses. He wants to win a game. They're going to be desperate for a win as well at 0-2 coming here to Philadelphia. This is a must-win situation, and it is not going to be easy against the Bengals. So as we look at the Birds specifically, forget about the opponent. What do they need to do to fix their woes on the offensive side of the football? Is it Wentz in the simple things like the fundamentals, right? The footwork, I'm looking at Alex, and he has an interesting one that we're going to talk to Alex about on the phones with what he might think could be a problem for Carson Wentz. What do you think it is? What do you think it is? We talked about it last night and what has happened to Carson Wentz. All right, now we need to figure out, well, how do we fix things offensively? And it starts with him. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones and check in with Ross in Mount Laurel here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ross?
Devon, I've been waiting all day to talk to you, my man.
My man, good to hear from you, man. Thanks so much.
All right, listen, I'm going to give you three things. And so I know we only have a short period of time, so I want to get your feedback hopefully on three. So the first thing is, why do the Eagles continually not be able to evaluate talent before the draft and after? So once they get their draft picks, they're so dedicated to them that they let talent that is better than the picks that they draft go. And we've seen that time and time again, whether it's LJ Fort or other people that have left. And they're dedicated to other talent where they shouldn't be. So that's one thing that sort of bothers me. The second thing is, why does Jim Schwartz get a pass on defense? There is no identity and there is no ingenuity. And if I see Nate Jerry running down the field chasing people again, it's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, my goodness. He was trailing who was the Higby on Sunday twice. And the second one was awful.
It was awful, Devon. And then how about the announcers? I don't know if you caught it, but there was a critical 3rd and 2 in the first half when we needed to stop the Rams. Here they went down and scored a touchdown. But on a critical 3rd and 2, they played a zone coverage. And the announcers caught it, and they said, oh, that was kind of interesting. They played a zone coverage on 3rd and 2, right? And so it's making you feel like, where is Jim Schwartz's accountability on all this?
Yeah, and that's why yesterday when he spoke, thanks for the call, Ross. Really appreciate it. Jim Schwartz spoke yesterday, and he took the blame. He took it on the chin and said it was his fault. The game plan was not good enough. Should have been better. They didn't really do anything that much differently from the last two times that they have played them. And they were just wrong because they really played things basic. Roddy McLeod said after the game that they didn't do anything that they didn't expect them to do. They just didn't defend it properly because they basically took things easy. They basically took things easy against the Rams, and as if they weren't a team that really needed to look at where they were, understand the situation that they were in, and trying to get that W, they were basically unprepared. Why can't they evaluate talent, Ross? I don't know. I mean, we've been simply trying to figure out with these drafts. Obviously, we had our first caller say, I don't want J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on the field. All right, evaluating talent. DK Metcalf went a few spots after him. During the draft with Joe Torti that night, I remember we were downtown. During the draft show from downtown, we went until midnight, and we were sitting there. And look, while Joe Torti would tell you he liked J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at Stanford and thought he would translate to a big possession receiver in the NFL, learning from Alshon Jeffrey, and it would work out. But we both sat there and said, that DK Metcalf, well, we know a lot of people get enamored by the photos, with the photos and the timing at the combine, all the great stuff that he did there. Let's not get too caught up in it. But man, that would look nice in that second round pick, wouldn't it? Right? We were talking about that. We were sitting there that night. So when Ross is talking about the evaluation of talent, missing on Sidney Jones, why hasn't Derek Barnett turned into anything? Not taking a linebacker when you're looking at Murray and Queen in the first round, with all due respect to Jalen Reagor, why not taking one of those linebackers? Because you need the help. The talent that was there in the second round when Jalen Hurts was there. Jalen Hurts is a talented player, but was it a need right now? And I know things look bad for Carson Wentz right now, but was it a need right now? 610-632-0975. So there are many things wrong with this team through two games. They have to figure this out, because if they lose this weekend, if they lose on Sunday, people have already gone nuts in through two games. If they lose to the Bengals and the Bengals beat the brakes off of them, this town is going to go crazy if they lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. We can book it. I'll see you on Monday at 8 o'clock. And it will be a problem for the Philadelphia Eagles. They will not be able to walk out. Okay? They will not be able to walk out of their homes if they lose on Sunday to the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know this is not the normal, typical Cincinnati Bengals where you'd be like, all right, they just flat out stink. This guy looks like he can play. Say what you want about Gio Bernard as the backup to, guess what? Joe Mixon, who is a really good running back. Tyler Boyd, ignore him if you want to. Right? A.J. Green, not the same. You figured Darius Slay will probably take him out of the game because A.J. Green hasn't looked so good through the first two games. But you can ignore Tyler Boyd if you want. Vontae Maddox did not have a good week number two. Okay? Did not. 610-632-0975. And before we get to Shane, who is up next, and everybody else there following, wanted to introduce our side topic since we have a shorter time tonight because of following the Jaws show and our 7 o'clock start. Today is the 20th anniversary of Remember the Titans. Fantastic movie, right? By all accounts, everyone loves it. Some say the best football movie, or arguably the best sports movie of all time. Tyler, you agree with that? Just saying arguably. That's all I'm saying. Not that it is.
Arguably, sure.
You've heard that before.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, folks, we wanted to ask two things off of the 20th anniversary of Remember the Titans. Number one, Denzel Washington played a great, great role, right, in that movie, Remember the Titans, as the coach. He really reached a lot of those kids, right? All of that. Tyler can recite so many lines from this movie, right? From Remember the Titans, because again, this is one of the biggest movies of all time. Okay? So, with Remember the Titans being a great movie, Denzel Washington playing Coach Herman Boone, great, great message in the movie, all of that stuff. We know what's going on right now. Best leaders, best fictional leaders in movies. Doesn't have to be sports. Could be anything. Could be anything. Best fictional leaders based on the movie Remember the Titans 20 years ago today, and Denzel Washington playing a fantastic role as Coach Herman Boone in this movie that was released, all right, way back in 2000 in September. So it's the 20th anniversary. So we ask you guys, when you call in to talk about the Birds, you know we like to throw in our side topics, have a little fun, loosen things up a little bit. Best fictional leader in the movies. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll give ours out. Tyler will probably recite some of those lines and throw some of those lines out there. And we'll keep the conversation open. We'll get to the Phillies later on, the Sixers and their latest in the coaching search as well. 610-632-0975. And then there's another part to this Remember the Titans movie that is more directed at me that we have to mention as well. People probably wouldn't be surprised by this, but we'll do this. All right, let's go back to the phones. Shane in Southwest, next on the Fanatic. Shane, what's going on? Yo, Shane. Shane is not ready, so we'll put Shane on hold. Tyler, we'll get to Shane and see what's going on there, but we will go to Alex in Haddon Heights as we transition over to Alex. Alex.
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thanks. My point about Carson Wentz was funny. Over the summer, I heard, and I know, I think since he's had those injuries, he took a lot to heart, everyone saying how fragile he was. And I hear all the reports out, oh, he's put on all this weight and this muscle, and I started getting concerned. And if you remember, the best part about Wentz when he was the fact that it made us tough to defend him. When he was cooking in 2017, he was an electric dual threat. I mean, the guy could, you know, he wasn't athletic for quarterback. He was athletic, and he made plays with his legs. And he just has, he looks like he's dragging a piano now. You know, all he could do in the pocket is that duck move. I mean, he's just not. They had a play. They analyzed that interception to Arcega Whiteside on Sunday. He had, you know, man coverage, and the play there was for him to run. Everything was covered, and he had a crease, and he just doesn't have the juice to do it. And it's and that Carson Wentz we're seeing now, like a pocket passer, that's you know, not, that's 50% of the product that we had when we drafted him.
Yeah, man, and it's funny because you know when you said the one that he ducks his head, right? So let's talk about that one quickly. When we did the pregame show this weekend, Alex, with Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn and myself, we were at Parks Casino, and D. Gunn, Alex, brought up when he took all those hits against Washington, right? And he said, if you notice, and I think we all have, but D. Gunn pointed it out and laid it out perfectly, and then Brian did what he did in analyzing it as a former player, ducking his head down. Alex, the guys were afraid that he's going to get himself hurt. Because he ducks his head down, and the defender is coming full barrel at him, right? And he's gonna crunch his neck if he continues to take his hits like this. And then the one that I bring up, and I know you see this one, when he tries to reverse field and go left, blindsided, not knowing what's coming from the other side, and oftentimes he gets smacked.
And it's because, I mean, he just lost a burst. He used to have a burst, and you don't have to duck when you can take off.
Right.
You know, you don't see Ross ducking. I mean, if he gets a crease, he's gone. And that threat, I mean, they're just so much easier to defend now. And it's why the offense looks so suave. You know, it's why I want to see Hurts get some plays, because, you know, the teams that can light it up right now, they all have that threat.
I don't want to see that yet, because you know how it is as Eagle fans. And I'm not even going to say just Eagle fans, but we know, of course, here that once that happens and Hurts makes a couple of plays and he looks elusive out there, they have never seen him out there on the field, the defenders, so they're going to be lost. He's going to make some positive plays. You know exactly what's going to happen when Carson Wentz comes in and throws an errant pass, that even though the fans are not in the building to boo, social media and the phones here, the phones will light up and say, get that guy on the field.
Now, you're right, but it's just this version of Carson that we're seeing.
He's not right, yeah.
It's not. You're right. You're right. All right, thanks, Javon. I appreciate it.
You got it, Alex. Appreciate it, man. He's not right. He is not right. 610-632-0975. He is not right. He need the muscle. Remember when Donovan put all that muscle on when he came back and he was thick as ever? He looked like a linebacker out there. And we were like, okay. Well, he can absorb those hits. He's not going to be he's not going to be a problem. He can take those hits. It's all good. No problem. But then he also put in his head that he had to stop running because he's a black quarterback and he didn't want to be labeled as a black quarterback who only knew how to run and not stand in the pocket, read a defense, and deliver the passes the way he needed to, which made him a more dynamic quarterback. But he had the one thing, he was closed off in that one, and he did that part to himself. But the muscle, many said, oh man, he lost a little bit of that burst that Alex is talking about with Carson Wentz here. Could that be the case? Possibly. But also, Alex, you're looking at that with the muscle, the ACL, the back, all these things. And he's what, 27 now? That maybe it's just some of these things are taking a toll and he needs to be smarter when he is standing in the pocket. Get rid of the football, Alex, right? How about that? 610-632-0975. And again, I know we threw this side topic of the movies on to you guys that are already on hold last minute. If you want to give us a movie leader, one of the greatest movie leaders, in honor again, 20th anniversary of the movie Remember the Titans, Denzel Washington with the famous role of Coach Herman Boone in this movie, we're asking you for the greatest leaders, fictional leaders in movies, while we're here with you until 10 o'clock tonight with your sports point. 610-632-0975. Alfie from Abington gives us a great one right out of the gate. Chadwick Boseman in Black Panther. Great leader. Great leader. And now we say rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman, of course. Let's go to the phones and check back in with Kane in Southwest here on the Fanatic. What's up, Kane? Y'all good?
I'm good, baby. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's going on? What's on your mind?
I can't complain. We're going to speak about Carson Wentz. I think they don't trust each other. I think Carson definitely don't trust Doug. He don't. And it goes before the season even started, in my opinion. You know, they drafted Jalen Hurts. That had to be a big thing to his ego. And it's one thing for your coach to tell you, oh, don't worry about it, you my guy. But then you look further down the field and you see Zach Ertz, who's your best friend, going through the same thing with Dallas Goedert.
Mm.
They don't want to pay him because they feel like they got somebody younger. They was getting ready to let go Jason Peters, who he called his bodyguard, for Andre Dillard. So the writing is pretty much on the wall. You're trying to get younger. And even though Carson Wentz is young, he's still in his fifth year, been beat up. And I'm a Carson Wentz guy. I really like Carson Wentz. I think he's a good quarterback. But they don't trust each other. And I feel like right now is more of a head thing than a physical thing for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I actually think the same, man. I actually think that is the same thing, that's really starting to bleed into who Carson Wentz is when we start to think about, well, what's the problem with Markelle Fultz? That became a head thing. What's the problem with Ben Simmons? That also is a head thing with the outside shooting part. Everything else, he's fine. The outside shooting and the free throws, that's a bit of a head thing. And that goes into with, like Ben Simmons, right, Kane? The free throws. He doesn't want to shoot free throws. Therefore, the head thing is he's going to make a bad play. He doesn't want to get fouled at the rim, so he's going to make a bad pass. His turnovers going the other way. That's problematic for the defense. And now the same thing with you, what you're talking about with Carson Wentz. It's a head thing, so he's going to think about something, right, like seeing ghosts. The defenders are barreling down on him. It's really not happening, so now that's going to be a problem for the Philadelphia Eagles offense because now this is going to be a bad play.
Right, I even looked at the first game, and I said maybe, you know, the Eagles being smart about it because they didn't play DeSean Jackson a lot. So I said maybe they felt as though we're going to ease into the first two, three games, keep it, like, treat it like a preseason game. They should have got out of Washington with that win. It would have been up in the air coming back home against the Rams. Then you go against the Bengals. We should be 2-1 at the worst.
Yes.
2-1 right now.
Like, 100%.
Going into San Fran. Then San Fran, they all hurt. So now we 3-1, and then you sit there and you get into what you really want to get into for the rest of the year. But I think he already lost Carson Wentz. I feel like if you're going to pull the chair from underneath him, you might as well get rid of him early while people still feel like he can play. Because if you look at it, the offense is real young. Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert, Hightower, Quez Watkins, Rieger. Like, the offensive line, you're going with Andre Dillard. You know, Lane Johnson is, what, 29, 30 years old?
Mm-hmm.
If he looks anything like Jason Peters, he can play for another 8-9 years. So, you know, so I think they just try to turn it over. And then the same thing with Malcolm Jenkins. Everything that he did, they didn't give him a contract. So Carson Wentz is watching this like, y'all drafted this guy. You telling me not to worry about it?
But if that's a problem, then we really have a problem if he's thinking along those lines instead of just going out there and doing his work and letting this play speak for himself, and then he'll be back here. Make Jalen Hurts sit there and wear that hat for a few more years. You know what I'm saying, Kane? Listen, man.
And 1 second before you go, I mean, you can let me go, but after this, what you think about D'Antoni? They talking about bringing him here.
Yeah, I was going to say something, Kane. I'm glad you brought it up. I'll address that in the 8 o'clock hour, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And we, you know, Steve wants to talk about that as well, so we'll definitely do that on the other side. 610-632-0975. And on the other side, 8 o'clock, we're going to give away, first of all, we're going to give away $500 to the fifth caller for our Fanatic football pool. And we're going to see if they win and qualify themselves for a chance to be in the grand prize drawing with the Fanatic football pool. 8 o'clock hour on the other side. Your phone calls as well. 610-632-0975. 25 minutes commercial free. When we get back in the Fanatic football pool right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5, the Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. It is 8:01 on this Wednesday night to get in on the phone lines to talk birds and our great fictional movie leaders in honor of course, remember the Titans and Denzel Washington and Coach Boone. 610-632-0975 and Sixers as well. We have to answer the question that Kane asked us about D'Antoni. Steve wants to talk about the Sixers head coaching position as well. But it is almost time to play the Fanatic Football Pool presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975. Be the fifth caller and you will win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. Pool and Pro PR 121-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Peter Laviolette autographed mini helmet, the Godfather trivia game that Mike was using earlier, a fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete, talking teddy bear from the movie Tattoo, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4, Jamie Lynch's James Thrash bobblehead doll, a full year's supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods, and $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We're adding prizes all the time. The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, take a deep breath right there. So, call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975, and then we will again talk to the person that is qualified as the fifth caller. We'll give them the trivia question, see if they are correct. They'll automatically win $100 for being the fifth caller, so they are in on that one, but they are trying to win here. Now, I think we have, so last week we did five and we only missed on one. This week we've only given away one. So we already have seven and we have five winners, two losers so far. So let's see where we go. Let's see where we go with our contestant for this evening as we will, again, get to the Sixers. So I don't want to rush the Sixers thing, Steve, and I don't want to rush the Sixers thing, Kane. So I want to make sure we give you the proper time to talk about the coaching search to figure out what the guys will do with the basketball team. So we'll do that. We'll continue with Tony when we after we take our contestant to talk about the Birds. Bill, Matt, Ken, MJ, Steve. We'll get to you guys in just a minute. You know this doesn't take very long, but to give out the numbers for others who want to jump in again, 610-632-0975. And Denzel Washington's character, Coach Herman Boone, 20 years ago today in a classic movie, football movie, Remember the Titans, where some say might be the best sports movie of all time. And we'll get to me in that in just a minute as well. We'll go back and forth with Tylo on that one because he is an enthusiast for the movie Remember the Titans. But it is now 8:05.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
That is right. And you know when you hear the music, the cheesy music, it's time for us to talk to our contestant here tonight as we have the Play the Pool contest sounder already running. Let's bring up on the lines right now, Scott from Quakertown here on the contest line. Scott, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, congratulations, my man, Scott. You are the fifth caller, and you have already won $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Not a bad deal just for being the fifth caller, right?
Yeah, good deal.
All right. Well, now I'm going to ask you a simple football trivia question, Scott. If you get the answer correct, you will be put in the drawing to win the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. You already know a lot of the things that are in there, right?
Yeah.
All right, so cool. So let's see if you are on your game tonight. Here is the question, Scott. Which Eagles player... and we're talking about movies. Which Eagles player had a movie made about him called Invincible?
Vince Papale.
Scott... That is correct. Congratulations. You are now in the running for the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, including, Scott, $1,000 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So you get the $100. You are now in the running for the Fanatic Football Pool, everything in it, including that one grand, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Look how easy that was, right?
Yeah.
And now you have $100 cash in your pocket, and we'll see where everything else goes from there. Scott, listen, man, hang on, Tyler. We'll get the rest of your information. Make sure you're all good to go. Congratulations again. Thanks for playing the Fanatic Football Pool here tonight. Scott, seems just that easy, folks. That's all we do here is win on this show. Did you like that movie, Tyler, the Invincible?
Yes. Another one I will watch pretty much all the time. I love Mark Wahlberg.
All right. Here's my thoughts on that one.
Here's what I'll tell you.
All right. You tell me because I'm...
I don't think it's a... I'm not going to sit here and say it's a classic. I'm not even going to sit here and tell you it's a great movie by any means.
Okay.
But it's one of those movies that I grew up with.
Okay.
And I have fond memories of, and I love it.
All right. Invincible. I watch it, but, you know, I met Vince Papale. He's a nice man. The movie, though, you know. All right, but the Fanatic Football Pool, again, a Fanatic Football Pool, football field-shaped baby pool, and we're filling it up with cash and prizes. Listen, four times a day, 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., and 8 p.m. Be the fifth caller, and you'll win $100 cash right in your pocket from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We'll ask you that simple football trivia question. If you get it correct, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. We just gave you everything like the Poulin Pro PR100 21-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Hey, if we get a nice amount of snow this winter, 2020 is already weird, right? And you have this 21-inch snowblower right in your garage. You're good to go. No problem. Put the gloves on. Put the scarves on. Right? Go out there. Knock that out. Listen to the Fanatic while you're doing so. And you're all good. Then you can go outside in your backyard. You already made the fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete. They come out. They put this fire pit in there for you. You're good to go. After you finish that and you want to go inside, well, you can go inside and you can play Tony Hawk, the Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4, right? Because you have PS4. So why not go out there and do that? And then while you do that, you can snack on your Hers snack foods because you have a year supply of snack foods right there. Sitting next to you will be that teddy bear from Ted 2. How about that? All right? All right. Just that easy. Every night, 8 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're givers. We're givers. We give things away. We love it. All right, let's go to the phones. 610-632-0975. Remember the Titans? Coach Herman Boone, Denzel Washington, an iconic role for him. Greatest fictional leaders in movies. Doesn't have to be a sport movie, just in movies. Let's go to Ken next in Philly here on The Fanatic. Ken, what's going on?
What's going on, Von? How you doing?
Oh, Ken, man. Trying to figure this whole birds thing out.
Yeah, it's real baffling. I just wanted to get your opinion real fast.
Okay.
I hear all the hate coming in on, you know, Jay Jaws, and I get it. He hasn't lived up to the standards of a second-round pick. I get it. However, I want to ask, everybody's clamoring, you know, you see around the league, DK Metcalf, Paris Campbell, Isabella, the list goes on, right? Are we sure that they would look the same in this offense?
Fair question.
I mean, I don't see anybody outside of maybe Goddard and sometimes Ertz getting open consistently. And it's hard for me to believe that every single person we put in this offense, their talent just diminishes. So I'm looking at the game plan, the coaching, like what is going on in that offensive meeting room on when that game plan is.
Okay. You know, all right. How about I counter with this one, though, Ken, real quick? How about I counter to your point, and you're absolutely right. That's fair to think that, to say, well, how do we know? We can do that with every sport, right? Well, will this player in the NBA look that like that? Will Jason Tatum look like Jason Tatum in the Sixers uniform? You say yes only because Jason Tatum just has that about him. He has that look. But when it comes to this one, well, all right. At least with Jalen Reagor through two games, you say, man, that speed just jumps off the screen, though. It looks like he has something where J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, we saw the preseason, really that one preseason game where he went off, and ever since then we haven't seen anything.
Okay, I get that, but my thing is, I mean, I'm looking at Doug, and they pay you the big bucks. Everybody will label you an offensive genius since you won the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm looking at lists after the Super Bowl, Doug is top five coach, and Doug offensive mastermind, and Philly, right? It was all love then, right? So right? You're telling me that you can't scheme some of these players? I mean, I get it. It's not all about the scheme. I get that, Devon. But I just find it hard to believe that you can't get bread and butter out of nothing. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
What did he do well? You don't – listen, we fans. And I'm wondering, I'm looking at highlights on YouTube. I see one-on-one matchups, fade to the goal line. I don't see none of that. I don't see any of that. But then you throw a low underball post pattern, and it's, oh, he's trash. I'm like, well, number one, the ball was underthrown. Number two, he was double covered. He was wide open for a split second, but it has to be there on the moment. If not, it's going to get picked off and knocked down, which is exactly what happened.
Fair.
So I don't really see how you can come on him for that when the ball shouldn't have been thrown his way in the beginning. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
I guess in this point, Ken, it's just simply because of the fact that he had a full season and he did nothing. And now that you feel like you need him, no Alshon Jeffrey, and of course, just looking at the improvements, if you will, of year number two from your rookie year to year number two, you add Jalen Reagor and Watkins and Hightower, and now you're like, okay, can he make that jump? And then you couple it with what Metcalf did or is doing still in Seattle, and you know how that goes. The frustration is there. So
I feel that, but I can't name an Eagles receiver drafted in the last 4 or 5 years that made an impact.
Yeah, the last one has been what? Jeremy Maclin?
The list goes on. the list goes on, so I can't say, oh, we would have had DK. You know, we probably would have been saying the reverse if J-Jaw is having Russell Wilson throw the ball and Pete Carroll scheming him open. You get what I'm saying? So it's not all just talent based. That's all I wanted to say. As far as my fictional leaders, I'm pretty sure you've seen all three Avengers movies, correct?
I've seen two of them, not all of them.
Okay, well, my thing is, I know Captain America, he gets all the love as being the leader of the group and all that. I get all that, and I actually support that idea. My thing is, especially in the last one, that move Iron Man made to save everybody, basically.
Yep.
You know, when the guy's telling him, this is the one. I can't tell you it's the one, but I'm telling you it's the one. And Iron Man pretty much did whatever he needed to do to save the world. So that's my, vote for him.
Iron Man, that's a great one, man. Listen, Ken, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Tyler, you have seen all of them.
Yes.
You agree with that one from Ken?
Yeah, I think that's probably a really good one. I mean, obviously, he's right. Captain America is kind of the named leader of the team.
Yeah.
But Iron Man was selfless at the end when it was mattered the most, and he was selfless for a lot of it. So I think that's a great pick.
Hey, I like it. I like it. 610-632-0975. Ken gives us Iron Man. We'll go with that one. On Twitter, we had Alfie, who gave us, again, Chadwick Boseman as in Black Panther with his role. So, of course, that's a great one to start off with, Chadwick Boseman being, Alfie's choice here on Twitter. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens again with you until 10 o'clock here on 97.5. The Fanatic, Tyler Zuli, is producing the show. We're with you until 10. We'll get Tyler's thoughts as well, get his choice for a leader in movies, and then probably some quotes, because I'm sure he will give us some quotes from the movie. Okay, Bill in Schwenksville. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Devon, how are you?
How you doing, man?
Good. I'm going to try to spew all my information I can in my call here. Number one, the Eagles, it's always been the previous caller called it, and it's all Philly sports. Drafting has just killed us. And you can't win, and they've always tried to get free agents and, this and that. And, we've talked about this before in all sports. The main job for a coach is for you to put the players in position to win. I don't think he puts Carson in the best position to win. I think he's better on the move. He's better on the rollout and things like that. Secondly, like somebody said, Schwartz, I've watched for years. I don't care if you watch the Eagles defense with no blitz. I'm sick of, he's rushing three guys against five linemen. And, when you used to play Carolina football, the old Mississippi, every team basically has 25 Mississippi. And even, you or I could get open in the NFL. In 25 Mississippi. They just have every quarterback has all day to throw the ball, and they just sit back and it's just annoying. And you know, he relies on talent like Fletcher Cox, guys like that, and things like that. But I'm just sick of that.
I am too. And the one thing that you did think, sorry to cut you off, Bill, is you acquire someone like Darius Slay, and you say, okay, he's going to do some things differently. When you have someone like that who can lock down that one side of the field, take that one receiver away. He was great against Terry McLaurin in week number one. He was okay last week. He wasn't as good as he was in week one, but he was, you know, but I don't worry about him. But to your point, you would think that maybe he would do some things differently now that you have that type of player where you're not concerned the ball being delivered and it's going to be, oh, someone got beat on another double move because the points came and they didn't know what was happening.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, and as far as, you know, just kind of get, you know, the NBA, you know, I love talking to you sports. I think the NBA always kills the Sixers with the, you know, putting Ben Simmons third team in the NBA. Now, that ego, why is he going to have to get better? That was murder. But let me get you to my, you know, number one, you said Denzel Washington. That, number one, that's not the best all-time sports
for you. Well, no. I didn't say it was.
That's not
I
even
said
his.
That's arguably for some people who say that.
Yeah,
for
that's
sports.
Not even his best. That's not technically his best sports movie, by the way. The Hurricane, which he should have won an Oscar for.
Yep.
He was phenomenal. Phenomenal. That's his best sports movie. Now, here's my leader for you. You know, I agree with the Iron Man. It was a great one. But here's one. Gladiator Maximus. Yeah, if he told me we're fighting against all of Rome, I'm fighting with that.
You're lacing him up, huh?
I'm lacing him up.
All right.
John Snow. John Snow, to me, TV, if you want TV, from Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I even to this day, if he said, we're going to fight a whole country,
Let's lace him up.
Even though he's an actor, I'm in. I'm lacing it up.
You got it, Bill. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. You got it. Oh, man, 610-632-0975. Maximus Gladiator for Bill. And Schwanksville.
Another great movie.
Yeah, no question. And now we also have to get to the Ben Simmons thing as well. Kane wanted to talk about D'Antoni. We'll get to Ben Simmons. I'm trying to wait until we get to Steve so we can do all of this stuff in one. And we will get to Steve and get his thoughts on the Sixers head coach as well. Ben Simmons named third team All-NBA. I was surprised. But hey, he had a great season. And despite all the things that we complain about, Matt is in New York checking in with us. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Devon. What's going on, man? Just wanted to chime in on your hero or leader movie character.
Yes.
One that I kind of grew up on was Braveheart, William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson.
That is a good one, man. Braveheart, many people love that movie. That's a great movie. That's a great entry here of William Wallace and Braveheart, man. No question about it.
Cool, man.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, even when they still replay it all the time, and even still when it's on TV, I can't help myself, even though the commercials are like 4 hours long, but can't get enough of it, you know?
No, I know, man, and it's crazy because, not crazy, but when Mel Gibson started to go a little crazy, that, you know, some people, you know, you start looking at things differently with him and his movie roles.
Totally, man.
And
some of the things he's said and done, I totally don't agree with. And I know that kind of changed it. But
yes.
I guess before all that happened, that's my vote.
No doubt. Matt, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you sharing
you
that with
it,
us. You
Have
got it. Day. Thank you, man. 610-632-0975. So before we get to break, let's squeeze in this conversation with Steve in Harleysville. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Good, man. I got two quick points. One with the head coach and a trade scenario, all for the Sixers.
Okay,
I know you. With the head coach, I know you like Jaeger, and I like him too. It's this one coach that's not getting enough like interviews, and it's Nate McMillan. I mean, 45-28 with the Indiana Pacers. Oladipo was like he's not the same. He turned Sabonis into a great player. I get it; he got swept, but
an all-star.
But the Bucks did too. They lost in five, and I just don't. And he's a no tolerance kind of guy.
Yeah,
and I think he'd be perfect for Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I just feel like, and you check his win loss record is awesome. I just don't understand why Nate McMillan's not getting any looks.
Yeah, the one thing that I heard in this particular case, Steve, with Nate McMillan was he kind of lost his stars, to your point of helping to develop Oladipo into an all-star. The same with Sabonis, and Malcolm Brogdon could have been an all-star as well this year. And
yeah, and they both got
all,
hurt, yeah.
And an all-defensive player for Miles Turner, because he has turned his overall game into a two-way player, which is very nice. Is that nicely that he has kind of lost his voice also has kind of gone deaf on to his star players with the practices that they've had, some of the other things that, like, he didn't want cell phones and stuff like that. And you know, in today's NBA, man, those things are important, where you feel like you're not in that college atmosphere where you're not being watched over like a hawk. You know what I mean? And so that's the only thing that I've really heard. And I think I also heard this too, Steve, that he might take the year off.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what I heard, if I remember correctly. There's so much coaching stuff that's being thrown at me right now, right, information, that I want to say that I have that one correctly, too, that as I process that one, that I believe that Nate McMillan might take the year off. Could be wrong, but those are some of the things that I've heard. But, I mean, listen, it's a good name. You know he's a defensive coach. But I also know that one thing that he lost with the Stars was the offense wasn't good enough for them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right, so you know, coming here, Embiid and Simmons want their offense too.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah.
What do you think, and it seems interesting from both parties, trading Al Horford, Matisse Thybulle, probably an unprotected first-round pick. You were doing this to clear out Al Horford's salary.
Sure.
For Buddy Hield.
Yeah, so you clean out his salary. All you're doing is taking the salary back with the younger player, and you feel like he fits with what you do around Simmons and Embiid as a shooter much
might
better.
Have to get rid of Matisse, though.
Yeah, probably, or first-round pick, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I would definitely do that.
To get rid of Al Horford, I would do that. And whatever reason, Luke Walton and Buddy Hield just do not see eye to eye, and then Bogdanovich also being a tremendous shooter out there as well. They're going to have to pay him. So I would do that as well. Let's see what happens. I wonder how some of these things are going to change with the pandemic and the fact that you don't have the gate sales. I mean, the ticket sales, the gate money coming in, the concessions and all of that. It's going to be difficult for these teams to spend the money the way that they want to. But at least you're now swapping a player for a player in this particular case. I hear you.
Yeah, and I hope they get Jaeger, because D'Antoni and Lou don't cut it for me.
You're speaking Jaeger, my language. You're speaking my language, Steve. Hey, listen, on the way out, do you have a fictional character, a leader?
I don't. I can give Denzel. I know he's my favorite.
All right, well, listen, that works, man. Thanks for the call, Steve. Good stuff. We appreciate it, and we'll address all of that. MJ, hang on. We'll get to you first. Kevin, Donald, Frankie, we have two open phone lines for the first time since we've gotten underway at 7 o'clock, 610-632-0975. So we will address Kane and Steve's conversation on the Sixers, as well as the Ben Simmons point also that Matt wanted to talk about as well. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens until 10 here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Hey, 33, back at it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Sorry about that. Had a little piece of candy while Tyler and I were talking. One of those high chews. So you know the high chew, that doesn't go away quickly.
It's like they're like the Laffy Taffys, right? Kind of similar?
Yeah, but those are harder to
get through.
Yeah. So that's my bad.
All right. So these are like softer Laffy Taffys. Because I've never had one before.
Yeah. Well, you know who they are.
Yeah, I've seen them, but I've actually never had one before.
Yeah. So guys, I just keep snacks here because we're here at night. So oftentimes we'll eat our dinner while we're here, snacks, all that stuff. So I had some candy, and I was like, you had some candy. So I had a grape high chew during the break. You guys had high chews. You like them. 610-632-0975. So quickly, I'm going to reveal this, too, about Remember the Titans. So Tyler is an enthusiast of Remember the Titans. One of his favorite movies. He can recite all of this, everything about it, right? He can recite it. I've never watched it in full. All right? Calling myself out. I've never watched it in full.
That's a violation.
Well, I'm not the only one who has never watched a popular movie in full.
No.
Come on.
No, you're not.
I'm sure there's a movie that you have never seen from front to back. That's a very popular movie.
Yes. First one that comes to my head.
What?
Inception.
Okay.
Didn't even get through it.
I watched the majority of it and then I was out.
Didn't enjoy it, honestly.
Right.
Because, you know, honestly, and I will be 100% honest with you on this one. Do you know why I didn't enjoy Inception?
Why?
I felt stupid watching it. Like, I really had no idea what was happening. I was so confused.
It definitely plays mind games.
And I got, like, maybe a little bit more than 50% done. And I'm like, listen, I feel like this movie is judging me somehow. I'm out.
All right. Well, I have some support here because Big Boss on Twitter, The Future Is Now, says, I've never seen it either. You're good. So I have some support. So Tyler wanted to know if it was a violation that I've never seen.
Yeah, we put a poll up on it.
In its entirety, the movie 20th anniversary of Remember the Titans. So there's really no reason for me I have not to seen the entire thing. I think people have heard me say this, and this is kind of unfair because it's not a period piece, but you know I don't like watching period pieces. There's something about period pieces why I don't like going backwards in those years and watching movies. I don't know. It's just, but there's something about this one that never really grabbed me where I'm like, all right, I need to sit down and watch this movie in full, in its entirety. Let's watch this movie. Everybody loves it.
Have you sat through and watched the entirety of Miracle?
Nope.
Okay. How about, I'm trying to think of some other, historical fiction movie. Like, okay. They're obviously real, but they get, all right, we talked about it earlier. Invincible.
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched it. But that was because it was a local story, and it was like, okay, I'll watch this in full and see what happens, and
trying to think if there's another.
You keep thinking.
Easy one.
You keep thinking. While we go to MJ and Kinetti. You keep thinking. And then you give us a poll update after we talk to MJ in Connecticut. MJ, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. First one talk boxing.
Have you seen the movie Remember the Titans?
Of course.
All right.
Yeah, of course. Inspired by it. To like, yeah, absolutely. Right. And I can't think of too many characters that I would put above him. I'm thinking like really sci-fi Morpheus from, what's it called? The Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh, The Matrix.
The Matrix. I mean, it was pretty cool. But like, yeah, practically speaking, Denzel. I mean, he was a leader. He was an inspirer. The way he managed the team, the way he brought people together.
Yep.
And then nothing else but great things to say about that. For sure.
Okay. Well, again, I just haven't seen it in full, and I'm not sad about it.
So, I'm here in Connecticut. I am with Jason Rosario. I don't know if you follow boxing, but Jason Rosario is the two-time world champion. This weekend, he's fighting Jermell Charlo to unify the belt.
Yep. We were talking about it last week.
So, I'm his mental strength coach, Jason's. So, I'm here. I'm in the bubble. And while in the bubble, it's kind of boring. Can't do too many things. And I'm a diehard Eagles fan and listener of your show.
Thank you.
Figured I'd give you a call, and I hear all these guys talking about Carson and Ben, and maybe just offer an opinion from
since you're a mental coach, yeah, please share.
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm an expert in is accessing the zone. So when a player's in the zone, we all know what that is. Like, the shots are coming easy. They're able to just, like, nail everything. But for them, they feel a level of confidence, of focus. It's like time slows down. And that inner critic, that voice in their head, is silence. It's actually a process called transient hypofrontality, the gradual slowing down of the front cerebral cortex. So also what happens is the brain waves begin to slow down and the body produces certain chemicals. Well, what happens that prevents that process from happening is an identity issue. And what I mean by that is from the time we're born into this world, unique, powerfully. We cry when we need to. We're not told no until, you know, our second, third, fourth, fifth year. But ultimately what happens is we begin to lose faith in who we are as people. And when we begin to lose faith as who we are in people, it's because we've had certain experiences in our life that taught us maybe we're not good enough, we're not strong enough. And from that, we develop belief systems. Our belief systems are our subconscious. So whatever my subconscious is, that's my belief system about myself. And the subconscious controls the conscious. So whatever you believe affects the way you think. Following me?
Yes, I am. So when you look at Carson Wentz, even though, again, you're not sitting in front of him, you're not having a conversation with him, when you sit there and watch the game, and even Ben Simmons, is that something that you see where that is exactly what's affecting them?
Well, for sure, Ben Simmons. Like, I don't think we have a big enough sample this year on Carson for me to make that assessment. I mean, because the timing with his players and so forth and so on. I don't know enough about Carson, although I study him, to be able to say that. But to some degree, I would say sure. Ben Simmons, absolutely. So, you know, the guy's brought up. He's number one. He's a number one draft pick. There's all these expectations for him. But that doesn't mean that what's expected of him is what he believes to be about himself. So essentially what's happening is, and just follow me on this. Oh, say, can you?
Right.
You're supposed to say see.
See, yes, I know it.
I'm triggering you to say see.
Yes.
Things trigger certain thoughts and certain feelings. And when we get triggered, we revert back to our belief system, our subconscious. And this is why a guy like Ben Simmons is afraid to take that shot. So unless we can help this guy build his belief in himself, and you would think as a pro athlete, you know, the systems are in place for that to happen. But whether the systems are in place or not, they're clearly not effective at this point. And that's what we need to see. We need to see an identity shift. And there's certain things that he can be doing as a practice, because everyone has something called neuroplasticity, which is the brain, which is a muscle. And whatever you're thinking is constructing that muscle to think a certain way. And if you can shift your thought patterns, then you can shift your ability to think in certain patterns. And I'm thinking that's what we need from Ben Simmons. Obviously, every athlete, I mean, I work with world champions. Every athlete, whether they're slumping or they're doing great, can use exercise on their mind.
Yeah. No. Well, listen, MJ, listen, thanks for the call. Hey, good luck to you guys this weekend. All right. And, you know, again, thanks for listening all the way out there in Connecticut, and as much as you do. Thanks for sharing that with us. Sorry to keep it moving. But this is something that we all speculate. And MJ is jumping in there to kind of tell us from the perspective of a mental strength coach of what it really is like that. And yeah, the OSA you see and, you know, all that and triggering my mental thoughts there to jump right in and say that. So we appreciate MJ for checking in with us here tonight.
Well, and I think that it's fair, and no matter what job you do, you know, if you're struggling to believe in yourself, you're never going to be able to put a product that you can relate to, be proud of, or whatever it is. It's difficult to get out of that mindset too sometimes, you know, because of the product you've seen around you. So I think that for Carson's sake, if that's what it is, if he doesn't believe in himself, that's step number one, is to, it's difficult to gain self-confidence if you don't believe in yourself. It's very difficult.
It is, man. It really is. It really is. 610-632-0975. And I have family who work in that field as well. So having these conversations with them about these exact things, and they're a huge sports fan. So I remember one of my best friends said to me, he was like 2 years ago with Ben Simmons. No, it was Markel Fultz, as a matter of fact. And he was like, yeah, he needs to see somebody because something's up. And of course, you know, the shoulder thing and all of that. So 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on The Fanatic. That's Tyler Zuli, Kevin and Maple Shade. Thanks for hanging on, Kevin.
What's up, D?
Kev, what's going on?
Man, I haven't had a chance to call you. Congrats on the pregame show, man. I've been listening every Sunday. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you so much. I have a blast with B-West as always, and it's great to add D-Gun to the mix.
Yes, yeah, it's a great listen, man. I called about the Sixers. I'm a little upset we didn't land Billy Donovan, and it looks like, you know, unfortunately signs are pointing towards D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how that's going to work with this lineup. The guys that we have here right now, you know, see what you think about that.
Of course, I do have my thoughts on it, so thanks for asking. I look at this situation here, and for me, man, I look at D'Antoni, and again, I can go on the other side, only because I say that if Mike D'Antoni was able to do the things that he did with the Phoenix Suns and the Houston Rockets, but also have the failures in New York and L.A., just bad spots for him, in that particular those two particular situations, you know, if he's an offensive guy like they say he is, and what he did in Italy before he got over here to the States and got into the NBA, then why can he not? Why can he not figure something out, some way to work this whole thing out with Simmons and Embiid? But here's where I'll also go. Embiid has to take this one upon himself and commit to the best physical, Brett Brown's thing, fitness base that he has been in, because if this is going to be in D'Antoni offense where they run, the ball's going to slow down where you haven't half court set. It always happens. That's what happens in basketball. But when they run, he's going to get fatigued, and he's not going to be able to keep up with what they do. He'll allow him to shoot threes. He'll let him do all of those things, but he'll just ask him to do other things as well to make sure that he fits into what they are doing. That is going to be the question for me with Joel Embiid. Is he going to take it seriously enough, Kevin, to make sure that his fitness base is at its all-time best to play in a certain system with D'Antoni, and D'Antoni, again, adapting to the players that he has on his roster?
Right, right. Now, as far as the team goes, I think if you bring him in, you can't, as far as the roster goes here, I don't think if he's the coach, I don't think this will be the roster as constructed. I wouldn't mind moving either Horford or Harris. The one guy that, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, the one guy that I wouldn't move just because I don't think that he got a fair shake this year would be Josh Richardson. I don't think when we got him, I feel like his ceiling was so much higher with the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if he was on the Heat and playing tonight, you'd be saying like, oh, this guy is his ceiling is, you know, an all-star. Like, I just feel like he was misused here.
Sure.
At some point. And I feel like if he goes somewhere else next year, or even if he's with the Sixers and he's, you know, in a used in a different way, that I felt like he wasn't going to be Jimmy Butler for us, but he was maybe on the verge of being talked about as an all-star in the league and being a real solid player. And
if he was still in Miami?
No, well, when he was with Miami, I felt like he was always killing us. And when he got here, I was super excited about getting him.
Yep.
And I just feel like I don't know if it was the injury. He was playing pretty well for us. He got injured. And I just feel like he fell out of, like, favor, or I don't know what it was. I don't know if you had any idea what happened with him here.
I just think that he just kind of got lost in the offense with what they were doing and looking at what the team was doing. Brett Brown trying to, of course, get Simmons and Embiid involved, and Tobias Harris being who he is, and Al Horford trying to, you know, it's all clunky, so they're trying to figure it out. He's now the fifth option. So he just flat out gets lost in the entire thing, and then that's where you are. So that's why I think it happened with him. I did like him in Miami as well. I thought that acquiring him this past offseason in that deal with Jimmy Butler would add to the team, not only offensively, but defensively, which is his calling card. And unfortunately, it did not work out. I'll be curious to see if they keep him around. He's not a three-point shooter. If D'Antoni is the guy, he's not a three-point shooter. But he does stuff. He does stuff. So let's see what happens. And let's give us your leader, if you will, for the movies before you're on your way out, Kev.
Tyler can hit me with the violation. I'm with you. I've seen parts of it, but I've actually never seen the movie. My go-to Denzel is Training Day, but that's it. I've never seen the whole Remember the Titans.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, yeah. you got Training Day. Well, he was a leader in sorts in Training Day.
Yeah.
Hey, Kev, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975.
He gets the booze for that one. Although you make up for it because Training Day is a great movie.
Yeah, it's the best. It is definitely the best. That one. Yeah.
Dude, Denzel is just, he's fantastic in all of it. Like, I mean, I don't know how many roles that I can think of. I know we talked about this a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any bad Denzel roles?
Let's think about that.
Yeah, I know that. I'll have to go back and pull some of the tape because I know we talked about it a couple of months ago.
Yeah, you can't go unscathed.
No, everybody's got a bad movie.
Yeah, everybody has bad beats, man.
But there are bad movies.
Oh, we did this already, remember?
Right.
Yeah, we did this already with the actors and the actresses that you love them, but everybody has one. They have those stinkers. They have those stinkers. 610-632-0975, Donald in Chester, checking in with us tonight. Don.
Hey, what's going on, big guy?
Don, what's going on? How you been?
I've been all right, man. I just, you know, I've been hearing everything about Carson Wentz and
just
observing over the time, you know. And I'll make two quick points. My first point is I'm not sure if Doug Peterson and that coaching staff can really fix what Carson Wentz's problem is, because maybe this is just my opinion. You know, I did hear that Carson Wentz was a Christian, and I really think that it's probably something else that's like affecting everything else around him, because it's really strange. You know, after the fifth year, you would just expect much more leadership, you know, and you would definitely, you know, like against the Rams, if anybody really paid attention, you would expect a little bit more patience from them, because the Rams knew what we did the first week, and they weren't going to allow Deshaun and Jalen Rager to get down the field. So, you know, it was just a lot of those things that were taking place, and I feel bad for Doug if Doug and the team goes down, if Carson doesn't take it upon himself, because I think there are things that he needs to fix, you know?
Right.
And my other point is that I'm kind of worried, because now that Miles Sanders is back, Doug is going to run the football. You know,
and that's what I want him to do.
Yeah, well see, that on the flip side of that is Carson has to get it together, because if you have balance, like for example, there was no excuse to miss Goddard in the end zone the way you did. There was no excuse to even attempt that ball to JJ, because the Rams were trying to take away anything deep. So you have to push it, you know, because I listened to Peterson's press conference, and he was right, is that Carson needed to keep pushing it down the field.
Yes.
Because then Miles Sanders was doing a great job. You just can't force it like that. So, I mean, I'm concerned about it because honestly, Siobhan, I do not think Carson is going to last that long behind center. If Miles Sanders and Boston Scott are able to stay healthy for 14 games, and he's able to bring that balance one way or another, and Carson does not, you know, just be efficient and just manage the game and make his throws, he's not going to last too long back there.
Now, I hear you, man, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. That's why we've been talking about something just not right with the guy, and he needs to figure it out. All right, Don, give us your movie, man.
You know what? I loved it. I love Nat Turner. I love the movie Nat Turner.
Nat Turner. All right. All right, you got it, man. Listen, Don, always good to hear from you, man. Great catching up. And we'll take this quick break. Frankie, you start us off on the other side. Tony, Brian. Oh, we see B there. TJ. All right, Don in Jersey. One open phone line, 610-632-0975. Talking some Birds mixed in with a little bit of Sixers and movie leader. Best movie leader in honor of course, Coach Herman Boone. 20th anniversary of the movie that I've never seen, that I'm being, you know, Remember the Titans. I'm being pointed at because I have not seen it in full. But I've seen some of it. We'll get back right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Gibbons. On 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
902-97-5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, 610-632-0975. And we have a final score in Major League Baseball with your Philadelphia Phillies. They have defeated the Washington Nationals tonight in Washington by a score of 12-3. 12-3. So as Tyler said during the break, at least they were not swept. Okay. Well, no, they were not swept. They did pick up this victory and a much-needed victory, honestly. They needed this one. So, Tyler, what are the standings looking like for the Philadelphia Phillies now? Because in play, we have to keep our eye on number one. We have to keep our eye on the Milwaukee Brewers.
Correct.
And the San Francisco Giants, who play at 9:45 tonight against the Colorado Rockies. The Brewers are losing currently to the Cincinnati Reds 6-1 in the top of the eighth. So what does that do to the Phillies with this victory tonight and possibly a Brewers loss?
So the Phillies are now 28-29 with three games left to play. So that means they've got three left with my new favorite team, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes, right.
To finish out the season. So here,
locked in on that one.
That's
going
to be a good one, man. I'm looking forward to it. Here's a look at the...
Is your boy in that rotation against the Phillies?
Glasnow?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
He's not been great. He's had good starts, but he's not been great this season. 4 ERA. It's not as nearly as what I expected.
All right.
All right. So here's a look at the National League standings. The Dodgers, I believe, have clinched the one seed, and they obviously have the NL West as well. Right now, it's the Dodgers, Padres, Braves, and Cubs have all locked up playoff spots. That's the four. 5, 6, 7, 8 right now are the St. Louis Cardinals, the Miami Marlins, the Cincinnati Reds, and the Milwaukee Brewers, who are 27-27. So the Phillies are a half a game out of that final playoff spot, but they do have the San Francisco Giants in between them right now.
Okay. All right. So we need the Giants to lose tonight.
Correct.
As well. All right. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli with the updates there. Ty, you want to give us an update on the polls before we get to Frankie to start this segment off talking some birds? And you never gave us an update on the poll where people might be yelling at me because of not seeing...
So we'll start with the Carson Wentz one.
Okay.
So that we can at least keep it somewhat Eagles related. So the question was, what do you think is causing Carson Wentz's struggles through the first 2 weeks of the season so far? Just a little bit over 600 votes right now. Here are your options, and then I'll give you the percentages. Your options are poor mechanics / footwork, trying to do too much, not leaving the pocket enough, or other, and we have a couple of other write-in votes, 17 other write-in votes so far. Mm-hmm. But just over, well, actually it just changed, so just over 700 votes now. Trying to do too much leads the way at 49%. 31% say it's poor mechanics and footwork. 13% say not leaving the pocket enough, and 7% have given us other write-in options.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I appreciate that, man.
Then you want your second poll, too?
Go for it.
Yeah, your second poll is...
Go for it.
So because we're talking about Remember the Titans and it being released 20 years ago today...
Yes.
I asked, we are just finding out today that you have never watched Remember the Titans from beginning to end.
That's right.
Is that a violation?
No.
285 votes so far. Well, 75% of the people say... It is indeed a violation. 25% say no, they're with you.
That's right. It's not a violation. I just I didn't say I haven't seen any of it. I have not watched it in full. That's all. 610-632-0975. All right, let's go to Frankie in Roxborough here on the Fanatic. Frank.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it, Frank.
Yeah, since we're talking about Carson Wentz and all these theories, what's wrong with him, he's got a couple things that I've noticed. We all know that he's not right. What I'm saying is, Yvonne, is that once you get, I truly believe that once you get a back injury, it's affecting his game. He's never going to be right, and I think the Eagles know it. That's why I think they drafted
Jalen Hurts.
Yes, and it's if you notice, he is not the same. The ball coming out of his hand is not the same. He's not moving. It seems like he's struggling. He has some kind of fear that he's playing with. He's playing scared, actually. And just listen to me for a minute. Look at remember when Tony Romo had his back problems? He was never the same. Now, what's his name? Is the guy on Detroit, Matthew Stafford.
Matt Stafford, yeah, he just dealt
with
it.
He's not going to be the same. Once you have a back injury, you are never the same. Because the back controls so much of your body movements, your torque, the way you can go from side to side. That's only my theory. And I just wanted to throw it out to you to see like what you guys are seeing.
No, well, listen, man, I don't know. They say he's okay after the back issue, and he's fine. He's good to go. He's all healthy, and maybe that's why he also, Frankie, added some of that weight in the off season because of those hits, where he's not taking those hits and his back can hold up with the entire thing. And I'm sure they go through the treatment to make sure the back is right in order for him to go out there and play in those games. So I don't know. Listen, I have my own little back injury and I don't play professional sports, but I don't get around the clock treatment the same way that he does. So I would look at this one and say that, hey man, it's a possibility. I don't know. Of course we would all be guessing. And, it's just one of those things that we're going to have to see how it all plays out. Frank, do you have a fictional leader for us in movies?
I'm going to go with Remember the Titans also.
Okay. You got it, man. Thanks for the call, Frank. Good to hear from you. Really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. It's always difficult to speculate when it comes to an injury, so you just don't know. You have no idea, so... I don't know. I don't know. But it can play a part in things for sure, but I don't know if that's the problem right now. Tony in West Philly is back with us. What's up, Tone?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. How about you?
Good. I'm going to give you my movie first.
Go for it.
I'm old school, and I love the role Billy Dee played in Brian Song.
Okay.
I thought that was a classic movie. I think he portrayed Gale Sayers pretty well in that movie.
Yeah, and
I know you're young. I don't know if you saw it or not.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm glad you're bringing it up because, unfortunately, of course, Gale Sayers passed away today.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Age 77, I believe he was, and he passed away today. Yep.
Wow. It's ironic I would say that movie. I want to get to my Eagles. I think the Eagles, as I told you, when I talked to you a little while ago, they're going to lose five in a row. And Cincinnati goes down and gets Joe Burrow, number one overall. Who did they take second? I thought the best receiver in the draft I wanted the Eagles to get. They got T. Higgins. And if you watch them over the past couple of weeks, they're starting to get a rhythm together. I know Green is on the other side, but T. Higgins is a heck of a receiver, a big physical receiver. And I just think the Eagles, they have too much offense for the Eagles. They're not going to be able to slow them down. I just think they were off key. I mean, McVay, a masterful game that he had him off balance, and I think they're going to run into the same thing this week. So,
I wouldn't be surprised by that, only Tone, because I watching them against Cleveland the other night where they dropped that 30 on them, and the way they just did it, and he looks so poised, Joe Burrow does in the pocket. You look at what Joe Mixon can do out of the backfield as well. Now, I will say this, they did lose their starting tight end to injury, so that might be as one weapon that he does not have, and that might be something that the Eagles can of course take advantage of and exploit and make sure that they're good to go.
And my last comment, or last two, have you seen Denzel in Out of Time?
Yes, appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Brian in Plymouth Meeting joins us next here on the Fanatic. What's up, B?
Yeah, D. Let's run through some Eagle stuff real quick.
Yes.
I mean, you know, obviously you never know with a back injury, but Wentz's thing wasn't structural, and he looked fine physically once he got going last year.
That's why I say, I don't know. It's hard to speculate on that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I see a guy who's thinking instead of playing, and you know, but I would highly recommend to all Eagles fans out there, just embrace the fact that we are now in a retooling mode. We're not contenders, and you will be a lot more zen on Sundays instead of getting all freaked out. That being said, I think across the board, I mean, number one, I've never was a Jim Schwartz guy. You know, having grown up watching Buddy, I like seeing blitzing and pressuring the quarterback and his bend but don't break, and really vanilla scheme was okay and for the Super Bowl team because they had personnel and it kind of fit with that. But, you know, I was always hoping that he was going to ride that to a head coaching job. So he would just leave and we would replace him with somebody else. Howie obviously needs to spend as much of Jeff Lurie's money as possible on getting some sort of scout who will make great draft selections. I mean, even if you go, you get, I have no idea where he is, or hopefully he's doing okay, but the guy who had serious alcohol problems, who built the Harbaugh Niners, was the GM for the Seahawks, was the only person in the past 20 years that like got the Redskins going in the right direction.
McLaughlin? Oh, yeah. Was it McLaughlin? McLaughlin? Something like that,
Something like that, but I mean, that's a guy that he doesn't even need to come in the office. Like, apparently he's just a natural ability to watch guys on tape and figure out who's going to play and who's not going to be able to play. But whoever it is, Howie needs to realize that he can't draft and he needs to get somebody in here that can do that.
That's the ego.
Well, but, I mean, he should also be comfortable enough in his own position. He won a Super Bowl, so it's not like he needs to be worried about looking over his shoulder. He needs to realize what he does well. And same for Doug. I mean, Doug should have the self-confidence to bring in an offensive coordinator who has his own ideas, who will challenge him on things, who can put together good game plans. Because, I mean, Doug, to me, he seems like it's the same coming of Andy Reid. He's really good with the players. He keeps things even keel. But I don't see anything or very much innovative or whatever. I mean, you want to talk about Philly. Foles called that play. He didn't call a play. He just went along with it.
And Press Taylor's the one who scouted it, right?
I mean, I think all along the way there, you know, they need to upgrade, you know, certain decision-making and whatnot. And, you know, hopefully we get over the course of the year, you know, they're not going to go far, but I bet you they right the ship and they are halfway decent. And hopefully some of the young guys look okay. And then we get 3 first-round picks for Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz.
Look at you. Yeah, now, what did you have on Antonio?
Can we talk to Antonio for a second?
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. Yep.
I mean, beyond the fact that everything is point guards with him, which doesn't quite make sense. I mean, even on the Knicks, is the insanity. Having one of the last few books I read, sadly it was a little while ago, but was 7 Seconds or Less by McCallum, I think, Jack McCallum, about that Suns team. There is no sort of defensive strategizing going on. They're essentially just like, they play the Clippers, they play Kobe, and their whole thing is, and it's a decent strategy, is we're just going to play straight man-to-man and let Kobe or Elton Brand go off, and we're going to stop his teammates from getting theirs. But there's no talk of defensive strategy in the whole book. And I'm pretty sure it was Jalen Rose, because I think he had a cup of coffee at the end of his career on the 7 Seconds or Less Suns. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to the podcast a lot, but I don't anymore. Jacoby kind of rubs me the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But I remember Jalen Rose telling a story about he was on that team, like basically in a bench role in a playoff game, and he said something like, well, why don't we do this on defense? And D'Antoni was just like, I don't care about defense. Go back to the bench. Like, well, you know, and he had that guy, I can't remember his name, but who was basically coordinating his defense with the Rockets. And that guy apparently, you know, he figured out that he could use Harden. The one thing Harden can do is not give up space on the block.
Are you talking about Eric? Was it Eric Musselman?
Is that the guy's name?
I think it was Eric because he left and
guy,
he came out of retirement.
The guy that came out of retirement.
Yeah,
last year.
I want to say it was maybe it wasn't Musselman, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, maybe just the combination of D'Antoni's age, like the fact that we don't have a shooting point guard. That I mean, it's just I don't want any risk. This is our one shot. This
Jeff,
next
Jeff
coach Bizdelic, is the one shot.
Jeff Bizdelic, off the top of my head, that's who it was. Okay. Jeff Bizdelic.
Okay. You know, so I don't want to see like some young coach who's got no experience at all because they've got to be able to handle the whole playoff thing or whatever. Have you heard anything about Jaeger? Like anything? He's not employed with a team, right? They could be interviewing him if they wanted.
He's free. He's free. And the only one I've heard him attached to is Indiana, and of course here, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about Howie and Doug's, like their ego or their comfort level with people that are going to challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jaeger clearly, you know, popping off after two games and calling Vlade on the carpet, even though he's right.
He was
but
right.
What he said about Doncic, like, you can't say that just because you also have Bagley on your team. Like, that's just basically throwing Bagley under the bus, and he didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that was a dumb thing for Jaeger to say, but Elton's got to have the self-confidence to be like, that's not going to be something that's going to prevent me from getting the best mind to do this job.
Well, I think Elton also knows, hey, B, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. I think he also knows that the heat will be on him next. Not the players, him. So he understands that. That's why he's going to make sure that he does this thing the right way. 610-632-0975. TJ in Harleysville wants to talk about Mike and D'Antoni. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening, man?
Nothing. Just got home from work. Get ready to watch the basketball game.
Yeah. Got it on right now in the studio, my man.
Nice, nice. So, I wanted to talk about Coach D'Antoni's track history, and I want to see if you think he's actually like a really good fit or not, because he made it to, I believe, two conference finals in his career, one with the Suns led by Steve Nash and one with the Rockets led by James Harden, both willing shooters, great playmakers, things like that. But, you know, this past season, he had some real trouble reining in Russell Westbrook with his, you know, poor shot choices and things like that. We know the secret for the Sixers' success is pretty much within Ben Simmons and his willingness to shoot. Is he the guy that can push Ben Simmons to shoot and be the best player he can be?
I don't know, because in my opinion, when they got Russell Westbrook, of course, that was driven more by James Harden, but it was also that was also an analytical thing with even though the three-pointer was, you know, their whole thing out there, you know, that's also a Daryl Morey thing. So is D'Antoni probably didn't even want Russell Westbrook on his team.
Okay.
He's forced to shoot those threes because that's what they do. But if you notice this also, when he was shooting so poorly, they changed it up and said, Russ, just go do what you do, especially when James Harden started to struggle. And Russell Westbrook had a tremendous run, which had him on the All-Star team again, because he wouldn't have made it if he didn't have that stretch there. But had it, and he did what he does. And I really believe that he would probably allow Ben Simmons to do what Ben Simmons does and just get everyone else out there to do what they do in terms of the shooting and try to surround them with all the shooting that they possibly can.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my follow-up question to that would be, what is, like, does he have what it takes to lead this playoff push? Because the goal is a championship. And I don't believe he's ever made a finals as a coach.
He has not made a final. He almost made the final with Chris Paul, if you remember, had the hamstring injury.
Yeah,
and he went
right
down. So they had the Golden State Warriors on the ropes, up 3-1. Mm-hmm. And the injury happened, and James Harden also spit it up. He was terrible in that game.
Yeah.
So, listen, Brian made a lot of great points, and I agree with him on everything that he said, the age and all of that. But I cannot sit here and say that, TJ, I wouldn't be intrigued by what D'Antoni could possibly do. My other thing is this. I don't want to waste any years of Embiid and Simmons.
Exactly.
That's the one thing that I know for sure that I do not want to do is waste them and their prime years together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because right now, Mike D'Antoni, I was talking to somebody in the league today, in a Mike D'Antoni offense here in Philadelphia, this is Ben Simmons' team.
Yep.
It's not Joel Embiid's team. This is Ben Simmons' team.
Yep.
Listen, TJ, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate it. This would be Ben Simmons' team. Unless Embiid buys into making sure that he is a tip-top shape, and look, arguably the best big in the game, and I say that because Jokic is doing some Jokic things, and they are phenomenal. This would be a Ben Simmons team with Joel Embiid, an all-star, and along for the ride. 610-632-0975. Rob, hang on. We get you first when we get back. Final segment right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment here tonight, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. And as we talk about the 20th anniversary of the movie Remember the Titans, and we are bringing up, of course, Coach Herman Boone, played by Denzel Washington, and we're asking you for your best movie leader. And we've gotten a lot of nominations here this evening. Tyler has reminded us that 20 years ago as well, our friend from Tyler's alma mater, a good friend, Adam Taliaferro, walked into Beaver Stadium for the first time after suffering that spinal cord injury. The place went crazy, just acknowledging what he has done by being able to get back out there and walk, first of all, right? And Adam has since gone on to have a great career and do some really, really great things in politics and all. He's in New Jersey. He's fantastic. Good friend. And love to see Adam doing great things. From time to time, he'll reach out during the show or just reach out in general just to check in, see what's up. So, yes, great to see this 20 years ago that he was able to overcome that, which was very, very scary in the moment. So, of course, hats off to Adam for where he is right now. Yep, absolutely. You got some stories to tell about all that being up there, even though
I've actually never met Adam before. I would love to I've spoken to him. You know, we've had him on as a guest before.
Yeah.
And I've had a chance to, hey, how are you? Just, you know, producer duties, right?
He's a great guy.
Really tremendous guy. I would love the opportunity to get a chance to sit down and talk with him.
Yeah, he's a great dude, man. So, again, Adam Taliaferro. So we wanted to shout out Adam for sure about that. And get our final phone calls in here as well. Get the final poll results from Tyler also as we continue here tonight. 610-632-0975. The Phillies did get a victory. They defeated the Washington Nationals tonight in a big way, too. They put up a big number on the Washington Nationals tonight in their victory. Once again, 12-3. They head to Tampa for the final three games of the regular season. Let's hope for the best, folks. Let's hope for the best. 610-632-0975. Rob and Glenmore next on The Fanatic. Rob.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, man.
No problem. Okay, so I have best movie leader, Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln.
Okay, like it.
And my question is, I'm in a kind of a fantasy football quandary. Carson Wentz is my starting quarterback, or he should be my starting quarterback. And then my backup quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. For some reason, my fantasy engine is telling me that Carson Wentz is going to get like over 40 points this week against Cincinnati, and Aaron Rodgers is going to get like low 30s. Which is kind of surprising,
pretty good because they're playing the Saints, and you know they're going to go up and down.
Well, what I'm thinking is, I mean, just for the points, I should take Wentz, but at this moment, I'm not having confidence in Wentz, even if it's against Cincinnati. What do you guys think? What do you think I should do?
As far as Carson, I have no idea when it comes to Carson Wentz right now, to be perfectly honest with you. Obviously, as you pointed out, he should be the starter. But I also look at the Saints and the Green Bay Packers, and knowing that I look at it like this too with Aaron Rodgers. This whole Jordan Love thing, he is like, okay, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission, and we're going to fix this. So that's how I look at it with him. But I don't know. Tyler, what would you suggest that our friend Rob does here?
I don't know if I could recommend Rob to start Carson Wentz, even if it is against the Bengals, because the inconsistency is worrying me.
Go with what Aaron Rodgers has already given you.
I mean, in the first week, I didn't play Aaron Rodgers because I had confidence in Wentz that he would do well against the Redskins. Aaron Rodgers got me 62 points, and he was on my bench. And Carson got me like 30-something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nah, I hear you, man. Well, look, I guess we would both lean the opposite way with the Green Bay quarterback, but good luck. Good luck to you. All right, man. Thanks so much for the call. You got it.
I got to tell you, Devonta, here's all I'll say about that league from the numbers he gave us.
60
If
points.
Carson Wentz scored 30 in the game against Washington, is the highest scoring league I've ever heard of in my life.
He said Carson would get him 40 and Aaron Rodgers get him a low 30. I'm like, a low 30? I'll take a low 30.
Yeah, my quarterback was terrible in week one.
Not mine.
Week two, he was great.
I've lost both weeks, but my quarterback has been fine. My quarterback play is fine.
Who do you have?
Kyler Murray.
Oh yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Dak. I pick Dak every single year.
Why?
Because no one in my league will take him. Because he's a Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah.
I take him happily because I care about my fantasy team because that has money on the line.
True indeed.
And then Matt Ryan is my backup. You know how much I love Matt Ryan.
True indeed.
He kind of just fell into my lap.
Yeah, true indeed, man. 610-632-0975. My backup is actually, it was a computer pick because I was really, really busy and I could not do it. My backup is Jared Goff. But
it's been okay this year.
Yeah, but I didn't need him because I have Kyler Murray, so it's all good.
Yeah, no, you're going to need a backup for probably 1 week.
1 week. That's it. 1 week. Tony in Philly next on the Fanatic. Tone.
Yeah, Devon. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, I told you at Parks this weekend, the Chargers were going to give the Chiefs a little rock.
Yes, you did.
I also said the Jets would.
Did you do it? Did you do it?
I did, man. I would have won a pretty penny, but, right back to work.
I hear you, man. Yeah, they had me sweating on my DraftKings. I had them in a four-teamer, and they had me sweating. I lost it, but they won, but, I was sweating. Hey, I thought they would put it on them.
But, yeah, I wanted to talk about D'Antoni and the fit with Philly. So if you kind of, it's not too hard to tell. If you look at any championship team, their locker room, one common theme there is you always had like a dictator in that locker room, like a drill sergeant. And it's not necessarily always the coach, right? Like sometimes you have like a Tim Duncan, Kareem, Magic, where they're like happy-go-lucky, but you have Pat Riley and Popovich cracking the whip. In other instances, you saw in Chicago, Doug Collins and Jordan were down people's throats so much that they actually fared better with more of like a relaxed Phil Jackson. And I think that was kind of the same deal with Kobe. You see Steve Kerr is a little like a pretty liberal coach, but you have Draymond who's going to tear some heads off. I think it's pretty apparent on this team, Jimmy Butler's not there. We have more of like the young, happy-go-lucky personnel, so it's got to be a whip cracker for the coach. And I don't know if D'Antoni's that guy.
Do we not know that D'Antoni is not that guy?
He seems more of just like a go with the flow. Not a guy who's going to get in someone's face. Where Ty Lue, I don't know about the X's and O's. I can't speak to that, but I don't think Ty Lue is really afraid of anyone.
I'll say this about D'Antoni: I've seen him fiery. I've seen him go off. I have seen him in that way, Tone. So I can't say that he won't go off on someone when things you know, go opposite of what they want it to be. So I can't sit here and say that he, again, that he won't do that. And to your point of cracking a whip on, let's say, Simmons, Embiid, Harris, or whoever it might be, and putting you know, his message out there and making sure that it's heard. I don't know that for sure, that's not the case. I don't know that.
Yeah, I just remember those series where, you know, Amari Stoudemire would be getting the Spurs and the penalty like 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. I just remember a lot of undisciplined play deep into the playoffs.
Right.
With the Suns teams.
Right, yeah. No, I hear that, man. And I look at this one, Tone, but you can't. Who would your candidate be, quickly?
What was that?
Who would you choose? Who would you want them to end up with if it's not D'Antoni and maybe, I mean, you like Lou?
I wanted Billy, but at this point, I get, you know, call me crazy, but I kind of like Becky Hammon or Ty Lue. But, you know, I know Becky's not going to be the choice. That's a little bit too radical for what we need right now. But I kind of like what I saw out of her.
Okay, listen, thanks, man. Appreciate it. A lot of people mentioning Becky Hammon, Tone, and Dawn Staley as well. Becky Hammond, of course, with the San Antonio Spurs. Dawn Staley in South Carolina, coaching that team. And I've heard Becky Hammond has, I think I'm allowed to say this, that when she interviewed in one spot before, it didn't go very well at all. And she's had a couple of interviews, and the feedback was not good. So, I'll say that. Yeah, I'll say that about Becky Hammon. And I root for Becky Hammon. I've been saying it a lot that I think she should get an opportunity. And we have these discussions, a couple of people that are plugged in. And you know, we have that type of talk. So, my man, Scoop B and Brandon Robinson, Scoop B, he writes for heavy.com, and Scoop, you know, has a lot of sources out there in the NBA and all. And he put this one out there earlier, Tyler. Let me throw this one at you. It says King 76ers talks have gained traction again. Has heard that the Sixers are interested in Buddy Hield, which we knew that. But it is unclear if the Kings have the similar level of devotion to adding Al Horford to their roster.
Well, that's the only way it gets done, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I trust your guy. I'm sure he is I'm sure that's probably correct. We've heard it a bunch of times. But I'm to the point where when I hear these reports that the Sixers are interested in Buddy Hield, I'm to the point where I'll believe it when I see it. Because we've heard it from so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's not true. Mm-hmm. It's just I believe it when I see it, because it's like we always talk about with trades. There's that three-factor verification that you've got to get through. And I think at best, the Sixers get through two before the Kings go, well, hold up now. What are we talking about? You know what I mean? Because it's like, yes, the Sixers want Buddy Hield, probably, I would imagine. They need a shooter.
Yeah.
Yes, they want to get rid of Al Horford's contract if they can.
Yeah.
But then it stops, because I don't know if the Kings want to take on that contract.
I would say that they would not want to. However, it's movable, right? It's a movable contract, so maybe they would look at it in that aspect and feel like that they can still move that money along and they won't be attached to it for very long overall, and they'll get off of that. They can still do what they need to do with Bogdanovich as well. De'Aaron Fox will be up next, where they have to commit a big number to him. So yeah, I think in that case, yeah, in that case, I'm looking at it and I'm saying that I don't think that it's not ideal. But if they're going to have a disgruntled player in Buddy Hield sitting there making a lot of money, and not, he's going to be complaining that he's backing up Bogdanovich, even though he's supposed to be the man, then maybe they'll just be ready to move on from him. Maybe.
Do you think that this could be one of those trades that's just change of scenery for both guys? Works out?
Possibly. I don't know the role that Horford would play except for just being a veteran.
Right.
I mean, I guess he can be a center. He can be a center out west
that,
for sure.
So that team's got to be ready to compete, right?
I'm going to say, I guess he can definitely be a center out west. Are they ready to compete? Yeah, but are they ready to compete and then make the postseason? That's another thing. I mean, look,
sure.
Can Phoenix take all of that they had and carry that into next season where they're now competing with Sacramento and trying to surpass them to be that team that finally cracks it and breaks through?
They're better than Sacramento, I think.
Okay, well, there you go. So, I mean,
is Sacramento better than Memphis?
No.
Are they better than New Orleans?
No.
Are they better than San Antonio?
No.
So we're talking.
That's a good question, though, because of where San Antonio is right now.
We're talking at best the 11th best team in the West. At some point, that core has to be.
What's the core outside of De'Aaron Fox? What's the core? Is it Bagley?
I guess.
Bogdanovich?
I mean, it's got to be the guys that you've attached big contracts to and the young guys, right? So it's
Harrison
Fox
and Barnes.
Well, you know how I feel about him.
I'm just saying. You know.
They're in a bad spot.
They are in a very bad spot.
So would they take bad contract for bad contract?
I think so. Yeah, because again, Buddy Hield is just starting his contract.
Yeah.
Al Horford is now on year number three.
Two,
but 3 years remaining overall on his deal. So again, movable.
Okay. It almost seems to me that this is like I said earlier, it's like a change of scenery type trade. But it also seems to me that if this deal were to get done and it were those two, and obviously other pieces would be exchanged, draft picks and things like that, but those two would imagine would be the focal point.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems to me, I look at those this trade that would happen, and the Kings would almost go, all right, he's your problem now. And the Sixers would go, all right, he's your problem now. And it's just like, all right, we'll see what happens. Maybe something happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very interesting offseason, Tyler. Period. By the way, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics right now at halftime, 50-44 is the score. Tyler Hero going nuts off the bench with 15 points.
Did you see the tweet from Brian Scalabrine?
No.
He says, this looks like game 73 just because they're battling.
It's a defensive matchup.
Yes.
You know, I'm following my DraftKings to see what's going on in there. And I'm like, Ty, what do you think? Well, you were right. It was the under.
Take the under.
And it was the under in the first half overall, second quarter going into the second half as well, because these guys are not scoring. Jason Tatum has a donut.
Zero. You're going to have to get your double-double another way.
Well, he has 7 boards. You know he can score 10 and a quarter.
Yes, of course.
I'm not worried about that. Bam Adebayo has 10 and 7. So
you only need 3 more boards for him.
There you go. There you go.
And it's funny, you and I were talking about that off the air. He was the one I was worried about.
Nah. He's had a very nice run during the postseason with his double doubles. He's right up there with Shaq, and I think it was LeBron with the most double doubles in the postseason. Yeah, so yeah, all good there. All right, let's get these poll updates, Ty, as we get ready to close things out on this Wednesday night.
Yep. Both of them just finished. So let me get the final vote tally for both of them.
Right,
our Carson Wentz Eagles question finished with 809 votes. Question was, what do you think is causing Carson Wentz's struggles through the first 2 weeks? Your options were poor mechanics / footwork, trying to do too much, not leaving the pocket enough, or other write-in. We got 20 write-in responses, a whole bunch of different answers for that one. Most of them are actually football thought out. Some of them are silly. But most of them are pretty good. But your winner on this one is trying to do too much at 49.2% of the vote. Poor mechanics / footwork finishes at 30, a little over 30%, just under 13% of the vote not leaving the pocket enough, and then 7.4% of the votes say other or a write-in.
All right, and what would your vote be?
Right now, I think my vote would be the poor mechanics and the footwork. I mean, there's been a couple of things that I've seen over the last, you know, the guys that are smarter than me at football that I've watched break down and watched some film on. And there's certain throws where I watch him and he's either not stepping into his throw, his base is too wide where his feet are too spread apart. So I think it's a mechanics thing right now more than anything. I do think he's trying to do a little bit too much, but I don't think he's trying to, I don't think that's the main reason as to why. So for me, it's, I think, a mechanical thing.
Okay. I think so too. You know, along with the little thing in his head that he's in his own head right now and just needs to have a really good game to get out of it. And I hope he'll be fine.
Hope so.
Yeah. So, and the final one?
Yeah, the other one was because we were talking about best movie leaders because remember the Titans was released 20 years ago today.
Yes.
And we found out today that you've never watched the movie from beginning to end.
Nope.
So we asked, is that a violation? That one had just under 300 votes. 73% of the people says you are in violation. 27% say, nah, don't worry about it.
You are the ones who voted against me, you are frauds because you have movies on your list that you have not seen in full either that are very, 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 very popular.
You know why they said it's a violation, right?
Why?
Because we stated a specific case. So we specifically said you did not watch X movie. But you're right. You're 100% correct because I said it with Inception, right? I've never seen the whole movie from beginning to end.
From front to back.
Everybody has it. We just cited a specific case for you. That's why people are calling you out.
Well, that's why we like to have fun here during the show. We always try to mix these things in to take away from the seriousness of our anger with the sports. And hopefully we get a Sixers head coach as well because a lot of people are going to start to be angry with that. And I was listening to the Woj pod. And they were saying he and Bobby Marks are teams also, like, let's say, the 76ers, the Indiana Pacers, the New Orleans Pelicans. Are they taking their time in hiring a coach because you're not making any money? You don't want to pay a coach who's, you know, you're not making any extra money. These guys are billionaires. You'll be fine. Get the coach. Get the guy you want. All right. Tyler, thanks so much, man. Great work. Really appreciate it. Tomorrow we'll be back at 7 o'clock after Anthony Gargano and Cousins Corner. Barrett Brooks will join us at around 8:10, and we will give out another opportunity to qualify for the Fanatic football pool. Thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, all the tweeters. Everybody, be safe out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.